Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence, your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life.
Welcome to Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host, and with me is Mr. Patmore Pamphil, September Ambassador for the Medical Benefits Scheme Calendar, Staying Alive. Welcome, sir, and thanks for sharing today.
Good afternoon to you and to your listeners. I am glad to be on your program today and representing the medical benefit scheme. It's a pleasure for me to do so.
Thank you very much. Now, September month is sickle cell awareness, and you are here to share your life experience living with sickle cell. I would like you to give the listener a brief description of what is sickle cell and how serious is sickle cell to the human body.
Okay, when we were small, they used to say to us that it is more white than red. But now because of technology, now we learn that it has nothing to do with more white than red, but it has to do a lot with your cells. Now, a healthy person has round cells in their blood. A sickle person, now they have three types of cells. That's shaped like a little stick. That was shaped like a little half moon, and some round ones. So our cells died a lot more faster than the healthy person. So our body has to produce more cells faster in that way. And so because of that now, it creates a problem for us, wherein we experience a lot of crisis, a lot of pain that, you know, you just can't explain. I don't know if I make it plain enough for you.
Yes, you did. At what point in your life you were diagnosed with sickle cell?
Well, in my case, my people didn't know, but they always keep it as a secret. All I know, whenever they take me to the doctor will speak to them, but he's not mentioning the sickness, and they would just respond. But at the age of 16, when after I almost died and so on, and then I recovered, there was a time that my great aunt couldn't take me to the doctor, neither my cousin. Then an aunt of mine has to take me. And this was in 1982. But a little after, about 84, yes, I was about 17, is when I find out, because I asked Dr. Philip, I said, look, don't give me no circles. I need to know exactly what I have. Because I can't understand. Every 2 weeks, you're up and you're good. And then you're down for the next 2 weeks. You can't play no sport. You can't go to the sea. You can't do anything. So what is it? And so eventually tell me what it was. And I asked him, well, what the sickness name? Because I really don't know anything about it. To make a long story short, and that was the time I find out the sickness, and that is when I asked him, well, what can I do to make myself a little more healthier? Because I can't be this every 2 weeks you're up and every 2 weeks you're down, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he said, you have to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and drink a lot of fluid. So when he said fluid, I smiled because it gave me more chance to drink a lot more juice. And he said, no, not juice. You need to drink a lot more water. Those days, I hate water. I have to show the sugar in the water. But I was glad in the end because I learned that I was even damaging myself even more. So that is when I found out.
What is involved in sickle cell treatment?
Well, it varies because we have different type of sickle cell. We have the SS. That is the most severe one. And we have the SC, that is what I have, and that can be severe as well. And then you have the beta plus and the beta minus, all right? But they are very dangerous when you are full-blown. The more what I can tell people is what I have been doing. And it's like, okay, well, I observed they used to give us IFA and so on because we needed the iron. But sometimes your body, in my case, after a time, rejects the iron because it has too much, right? So I look for a tonic, like when I used to drink Ferberglobin, I have to drink the one without the iron. Others have to drink the one with the iron. But now I don't drink Ferberglobin. What I drink is Nutrifus, and I will drink like a lot of water. Apart from water, I try my best to eat as much food as I can. And it's like now it's real hot. By the time I meet 12 o'clock, I almost drink a whole gallon of water because I have to keep my body rehydrated. Because if I allow myself to be dehydrated, I will be in crisis. And I experienced that already. And I don't think I want to spend a month in the hospital again.
Oh, wow. So how severe is your sickle cell condition?
No, as I said, It is severe just like the SS. The only problem is with the SS, when they get cut around the ankle and so on, it takes a little longer to get better than the SC. The SC will heal a little quicker. The SS will go probably for the rest of your life without being healed. I used to experience a lot of pain. As I said, every 2 weeks I used to be ill. So if you look at my school register, you will see the most inside of that is sick S, and then you will see a little present, and then the second most will you see absence. I'll be at school but not in the class. So because I didn't want to be in any class. But as I said before, it is a very thing, and it's how a person treat themselves. I don't go to the seawater. If I'm going anywhere around the seawater, I prefer getting a boat and ride on top of the sea rather than bathe in the sea. Mm-hmm. Because when I bathe in the sea or swimming pool and so on, I experience crisis. Some people don't. I try to keep out of the rain because I can't keep on anything wet. Because whenever you keep on anything wet, it affects your joints and then you become in crisis. Going to the sea is not every time a person goes to the sea today, they will have crisis today. Sometimes it's 3-4 days later they will have crisis. So they will not attribute it to the sea. But it's the sea that creates a problem.
Why would you say the sea is what causes a lot of problems? Do you know why the sea or the beach?
Well, for what I've learned is that the seawater, it massages your body, so it takes out a lot of energy out of you. And so by doing that, it causes you to enter into a crisis. The other thing I learned, because I asked these questions when I used to attend Dr. Philip, tells me that the seawater also affects our joints the longer we stay inside of it. And so because of those things, I don't go into the sea. I used to like it, but I don't go there anymore in the sense of bathing. I will lime around the beach. I love around the beach, but I'm not going into the water, not even to my ankle.
Oh, my.
Don't do that. I can't speak for others, but I just try and keep far from anything that caused me to have pain.
Mm. Besides the sea, what else triggers your sickle cell?
The wind. It sounds strange, right?
Yeah.
But you see, when it hit like 5 o'clock and so, when the wind starts to get bleak and you wear short pants, it starts to affect your knees. And for those who like to wear spaghetti straps and you know, those vests, it affects your shoulders. So anywhere I'm going, once I know it's going to be windy, especially when it comes to cold season, I try to always have my shoulders covered and my knees. So sometimes when I wear short pants, even my children will laugh because my legs are white. Because I try to always keep on a long pants because of the effect that it will have if I'm in a certain place where it's cold and chilly, where I can't get into a house and you know, like the door from the wind. So that I know, for me, the wind creates problem. I don't use fan neither, because when the fan blows on you for a period of time, you start to get a little chilly, and then it affects your bone and so on. So sometimes you might find a sickle cell patient in the hospital often, but you will notice that they still have a fan inside them. It's something that they do every day, 24/7, and they're not noticing that the fan is having an effect on them. They will debate with you that it does not bother them. One of the things I learned, though, that when you turn the fan to the wall and let it beat off the wall and come towards you, then it's better that way than it come directly to you. So things like that I know, and I don't go into a hot place either. I experienced this before I got saved in a fret at Alton School. I went into a disco, just passing through, just to see what amount of people inside. And by the time as I come out to the next, and I'm in a crisis, and I didn't dance, I didn't do anything, I just walked through. So when I experience that, I tell myself, no hot place, and then come out in the cold. So I avoid any places that are too hot and so on, because I experience pain from that. The other thing that I know that causes pain, if when I get up early in the morning, like now I'm cutting down some trees, and when I pull out the debris, I find that my energy cut short fast, so I have to stop, catch myself a few minutes, otherwise I will have back pain and so on. So that's how I work. Once I find that I can't make it, I will just stop for a while and catch myself and then continue. So I tried that, and I don't go early morning walk either. Because after I experience pain, it might be different for somebody else, but for me, it causes me to have pain.
I heard that if you are a sickle, when choosing a partner, you have to know your partner's sickle status. How true is that statement?
Well, yes, it is true. You have to be careful, because if you have a partner who has a trait, it's a 50-50 chance that the children will have full-blown sickle cell. So you don't want that. So what I did, like my wife, when we start to date and so on, I asked her to do that, and then she said, no, she doesn't have a trait. Then I tell her, good. Afterwards, I sent a sickle cell book to her so she can read up about sickle cell and the different effects and so on, so she can be well informed.
Right.
And we try to encourage a lot of sickle cell patients to know your mate's sickle cell status, because it is important. And even if, as an individual, you might never take a sickle test, and so you, when you're dating somebody, you need to find out what their sickle status is and yours, so that when you have children, then you will avoid all the hiccups of having a child with full-blown sickle cell. Because that's how it really spread. It doesn't spread no other how. You understand?
Yes. What are some things you do to actually stay alive? Some things a sickle cell person or patient has to consider when they're going to go into a particular profession?
All right. It's not because you have sickle cell. That doesn't mean that you are limited.
Right.
All right? The first thing you need to do in any work at the field that you get into, because when I started to work first, I'll work today and sick tomorrow. So you know that you're very discouraged, because every time you get a job, you only can last one day or two, or maybe a week. So you have to start to restructure your way of thinking. If you have ever experienced being sick on the job early, the other thing that you have to do, always have water beside you. And as I mentioned, and I'm going to repeat it again, you have to think positively. Take your mind away from the sickness. You know you have sickle cell already, so you don't have to focus on it. Just take your time and do whatever task that you have to do. Like me, I'm a landscaper, as you know. And so my work is very, 1 minute, it's light and easy, just to cut some grass and then wake up. But another time, it takes a lot in my shoulders and so on, like what I'm doing now, cutting down branches. And so it takes a lot. And it also depends on what tool you use, it affects your stress. If you're working in an office, make sure that you have your sweater and so on with you, because most officers, you know, now you can. So you just keep your body warm, and you can function in any workplace, even on a construction site. I do a little work on the construction site too, help mix up concrete, pass up concrete, and blocks and so on, but you have to limit yourself. Do not try to impress anybody, because that's when you get yourself into trouble. And as you get older, the more you do things in your limit, for those who just push pen and so on and do the computer, as I said before, just keep yourself warm and try not to overdo, and you will last long on any job. And educate the persons around you, because that doesn't mean that they know what sickle cell is. For me, anywhere I'm working, I educate people concerning my sickness. So if they see that I'm acting a certain how, come to my aid quickly. It means that I need help. And I will tell them, I have my paracetamol in my bag. Look in this pocket, you see, I'm bringing one of the paracetamol for me and a glass of water. Things like that. I always try to have medication close by.
You are listening to Lighthouse Conversation. I am speaking with Mr. Patmore Pamphil, Medical Benefit Scheme recipient for September calendar, Staying Alive. He is a sickle cell patient, and he is sharing his life experiences living with sickle cell. Pastor Pamphil, do you ever try to get rid of your sickle cell condition? Is sickle cell curable?
It is not curable, and yes to the first question.
Okay.
When I followed what it was, and he said that I have to eat a lot of vegetables and so on, I thought, well, the more vegetables you eat, and if you eat it raw, it is going to cause me to be healed. But then the more I learned about the sickle cell disease, I realized it's nothing that can be healed. And it cannot spread unless because of the maid. Then I begin to realize that, well, there's something that I have to do that can keep myself healthy. And so this is why I follow what Dr. Philippa told me, to drink a lot of fluid and eat my vegetables and so on. And as I mentioned to you earlier, every time I observe something cause me to have pain, I try my best not to do that thing again. What I do know, and why I'm, to be honest, I have not been in crisis for many years. Because when I was in Bible school, that I think was my second to last serious crisis. And my last serious crisis was the dehydration in 2001. I went in February, the second week of February in 2001, and I come out on the third week. So it's over a month of March. So, you know, and I was taking drip from that day until I came out. All right? So after that experience, the Lord have kept me strong and healthy while I try my best not to do the things that will cause me to have pain and so on. And I try my best to always drink a lot of fluid, especially water, and I try my best not to overdo. Forget to mention this one, rest. Well, I hardly get any, but it is very, very important for us as a sickler. The more we can rest, the better it is for us.
Your encouragement to anyone who is diagnosed with a sickle cell?
All right. My encouragement is this. Having sickle cell is not the end of the world. It's not the end of your life. It's the beginning of a new journey. And in this journey, you have to figure out for yourself, apart from what others have experienced, what caused you to enter into a crisis and what caused you to stay away from entering into a crisis? When I say stay away, what caused you not to experience pain? Like me, I love sports, but I know when I play, some part of me hurts. So I don't play, but I study the sports. Okay? And when I study the sports and watch the sports, I am not sick. But when I play the sports, I'm sick, so I don't play. All right, but I love it to the bones. You got to tell yourself, I have goals that I want to achieve, and I'll do my best to stay healthy while I'm achieving these goals. You have to be your own motivator. The other thing that can keep a sickle cell person healthy, always try to be around people that shows you affection. The more love you receive, the healthier you become. I experienced that, and I realized that a friend of mine, she lived to the age of 77 in St. Vincent. When I meet her, she was about 60-something, but she found out that she had sickle cell at the age of 55, and a wrong injection she received, and find out that. So I asked her, well, what was your secret? Why you never enter in such a crisis? She said to me, and I'm repeating what she said, my family showed me so much love that I did not experience any crisis from since I was a little child. So I did not remember anything about that until when I got that wrong injection. And now I'm at this age. I do circle myself around people that show love and encouragement. And that's what keeps me healthy. So I don't really enter into crisis and so, because I'm always being showered with genuine love around me. And so when I received that while I was studying in Bible school, I patterned myself and focus around people, like to be around people that show me love and so forth and accept me and so on for who I am. And once I find anybody being negative, I have negative energy, I don't stick around them because that is a disaster for me. I have to find myself around people that are positive, people that are encouraging, people that will lift me up and so on. So those are some of the things that I will encourage a sickle cell patient to do. Don't go around people that are always drag you down and all that. It's not going to help. Hmm. It's only going to cause you to have more crisis.
How has medical benefits helped you with your condition?
Well, it helped me greatly because when I had worked to operate on my eye, they assist me in a way. After I spend my money, when I return, they refund me. Not only that, certain medication and so on. And even when I go to the hospital, I don't really have to pay anything because my medical benefit takes care of that expense. And so it helps me a great deal because to stay in the hospital one night, I don't know what the expense are because I would never really receive a bill. It means that they take care of it because I'm one of those chronic illness that they take control of. I'm very thankful for them. The assistance is very good, and when I go to the doctors and so on, I don't have to pay the full grunt like what you will have to pay. And so that's another plus for me. So I'm very glad and thankful for the medical benefit scheme.
You are also the vice president of the Sickle Cell Association. What's your role within the organization?
My role is more like a PRO, where I do most of the talks and so on and the radio or whatever it is for the Sickle Cell Association. And I will do a lot of the running around. Well, now other people help with the running around. But before time, I used to just do all the running around and so on. But now other people volunteer to help with the running around. So I don't have that a great role like I used to. Now I do most of like what I'm doing here for medical benefit for the Sickle Cell Association.
What's the goal of the Sickle Cell Association in Antigua, Barbuda?
Well, our goal really is to open a clinic. I know people have been hearing that for years, but now we are a lot further than where we were when the late Bernice Pickett, she was the president for a while, and we got a building, and we were on our way up, and then Dr. Hadid come and joined the association, and she take us further. But what our biggest problem, though, is finance. We need a lot of it so we can open. It doesn't make sense. Open now and then you can continue. So we are seeking to try and raise funds in different ways. We have contributors like AUA, Midreef. I don't remember all of the other persons, but they contribute on a regular basis, help us with certain programs for the sickle cell patients. But what we want to do, we want to open from like 6 o'clock in the morning to about 6 in the afternoon. But for us to do that, we're going to need about a doctor or two. At least I know we need definitely two or three nurses to operate. And so to do so, we need a lot of funds. And if everybody in Antigua were to give a $5 every month, we'll be on our way to a 24-hour service. And the main purpose of it is to help alleviate the admittance at the hospital often. Many patients have been repeated many times a year in the hospital. We want to alleviate some of that. But for us to do so, we need other partners on board to financially as well as physically. If we can get like a doctor or two to volunteer their service, we'll be really happy with that. Also, we are working with the John Hopkins Hospital. Dr. Hadid communicate with the sickle cell doctor there. So we kind of up to date with the medications and so on that we can use, especially with newborn babies, children. And so we do newborn screening, so we know which child has sickle cell early, and so we try to encourage the patients and so on to do to take certain medications. The younger the child is, so to help the child to live a more healthier life.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Well, as you were speaking, I guess the association is a non-profit organization. What are some of the fundraisers that you would do?
Well, before the COVID, we used to have like barbecue when it comes Christmas, and people and when we have our barbecue, we will have like things on display, so people will come and purchase and so on. Now, the government house, we do some fundraising there. We also do other fundraising and actions and so on the net. Hmm. I thank God for the COVID. It helps you know to use other means in order for you to try and raise some funds.
Anything else you would like to say on behalf of the association?
Yes, we need a lot of members. All right, you can be an informed member. You can just be a member where you every year you contribute financially $50 for the year. You can be one that participate also in the association and everything that we do. It's not plenty, all right? It might sound plenty because of financial struggles, but we can make that. And the person to really check in that is Dr. Hadid at her office. I don't know her number offhand now because I get lazy. You know, you have phone now, so everything is in the phone.
Okay.
All right, but her office is out by the cemetery in Fulton Building, and you can go there and sign up and say what kind of member you like to be. And we'll be glad to have you. And we also work in with the medical benefit scheme as well.
I found the information online while you were speaking there. To contact the Antigua Barbuda Sickle Cell Association, you can call 1-268-562-8476, 775-2748, or you can email antbar.sca@gmail.com. Or their address, Sickle Cell Center in the old rehab unit at Halberton Hospital.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, some of the sickle cell patients are at our office up by the hospice. They do a little workshop there. A person can go there and if they're a sickle cell patient, they can go there and be a part of that workshop. It also have a very low fee, just to give them something, a little stipend. And so your time will not be wasted.
Okay, thank you very much, Pastor Pamphil, Mr. Pamphil, known to me as Pastor Patmore Pamphil. Thank you for sharing your history of living with sickle cell and your involvement as Vice President of the Sickle Cell Association. Thanks for contributing to our society in this way. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you, too, and thanks to Caribbean Radio Lighthouse on behalf of the medical benefits team as well. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations, we would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.